Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Bald Movie. Tonight, Jim and I searched high and low to see The Little Helper, a gothic horror movie set in the 1940s around a failing British estate and the house that is crumbling around the remaining last few members of the family. I was really excited to see this film, Jim.
Yeah,
I was expecting like Downton Abbey crossed with The Witch, like that kind of really atmospheric horror. And I feel like if you are your expectations are that, dial them down, because this is certainly a ghost story. And I don't think it's a spoiler because it's billed as a gothic ghost story. But
if you couldn't tell, it's a ghost story by the ringing bells in the trailer.
right.
I don't know what calibration you got going, but it needs to be changed.
It needs to be slightly. You need to turn the dial towards ghost.
Yeah.
Okay. it is a ghost story. And it is gothic, but I found it remarkably not scary.
Yeah.
It was interesting. And a really weird kind of slice of like you know, because I love Downton Abbey. This is like Downton Abbey in 20 years after, you know, Lord Grantham has fucked up the money one more time and everything is just crumbling. And it's just the British gentry, you know, mourning their fate. Mm-hmm. What did you think of it?
I thought this movie was remarkably boring. I don't know about you, but I had this movie's number pulled, figured out within 15 minutes of the opening of the film.
I'm curious.
And then I was just sitting there the rest of the time going, just fucking reveal it already. Just come on. Just do this. And I didn't understand, like, why they wouldn't just get to the point. And I think it's because they were saving it for later in the movie, but I just don't. I honestly don't think the juice is worth the squeeze on this movie. I was very bored most of the time.
Yeah. I feel like this movie reminded me, because like I think this movie could have been The Witch if they had just even tried to milk the tension that was there. There's like 4 or 5 scary set pieces, but they're literally shot like it's Downton Abbey. They, you know, the horror and dread, just there's not any time to build up and then it dissipates. And in between that, like, there was some interest there for me because I liked the subject material and the era and all that. But like, yeah, I kind of the juice isn't worth the squeeze is a pretty good way to put that. And it's crazy because I had heard really good things about this film, you know, and it has a lot of people in this film that I admire their work. It just left me a little cold. I don't know how much I have to, more to say about that. That's not spoilery. Do you got anything you want to say?
Oh, boy. 3.5-minute review.
Well, that's like kind of our non spoiler reviews are always kind of that way, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I can't talk much about it without spoiling it. I will say I thought the performances were good.
Yeah,
you know, it's a shame that the movie itself and what they were trying to do with it couldn't have been a little bit better. But
there's one other thing I want to say. Like from the very beginning, this movie felt off, but in like a good way. Like, everyone is standing slightly unnaturally. Everyone's reactions are slightly off the human scale. Like, not terribly so. Not like they're cackling maniacally or whatever.
So it's a British movie?
Yeah, so it's a British movie.
It's about the Brits, yeah.
But no, I found that kind of affecting. And I was like, ooh, if this is like the first act, I can't wait to see, like, but it just never happened. I was expecting like an increase in this base level, just kind of dread and despair and creepy, and it never does. And I was thinking as we're entering the third act, like, well, man, maybe it'll just get like fucking crazy, right? Like mother levels of action. And it just it reminded me a lot of that A Cure for Wellness.
Yeah,
that like all the tools and pieces were there. It just never, the cake never quite came together or rose or baked or I don't know.
But I think like even a movie like A Cure for Wellness has interesting visuals, like things that you haven't seen before, things that are unsettling.
Yeah.
It's got that going for it, whereas this movie just is kind of nothing.
Yeah.
It didn't move me in any way.
The charms it has to offer is essentially what would Downton Abbey look like if it was let to rot for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But turns out that's not that interesting. And also, when there's the flashbacks of its glory years, they didn't really do, like, I wonder if this isn't an actually abandoned English estate, because whenever they did the flashbacks of its quote-unquote glory, it still looked dingy and dull and kind of grimy. Like, they didn't really do that update of it.
Hmm.
Like, you know, here's, like, all these maids, and they've clearly got money and all that, and it just, like, it didn't show in the film. It still looked dingy and dull and run down.
Let me say one good thing about the movie.
Okay.
That unfortunately doesn't quite pay off, but I think the very core, the nugget of what they're going for there, that they just don't quite approach with the right tone or lean into hard enough, is really interesting. And I'm not going to say what it is.
Okay.
But the idea itself is a very good one, and I can see, like, getting excited when you hear the idea of this film or coming away talking about the core idea of it.
Mm.
But everything else that surrounded it, the scaffolding that this was built with, is just not good.
Yeah. Because it's interesting. I want to hear your thesis, because I guess my thesis was that this movie is about kind of like the malaise amongst the British upper class as the progressive policies of Britain slowly just stripped their fortune from them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they mentioned that the inheritance tax is at 75% in this area. Well, that's, if you're running a state like that and you've been banking on literally generations of wealth, and every generation now 75% is whittled from it, that's a real kick in the dick. But I always, you know, even like, I love Downton Abbey, right? I love a lot of these films set in this period, but I always have a hard time feeling sorry for the nobility,
sure.
Right? Because it's like, oh, this way of living life is lost, and oh, what will become of Britain when everyone will have health insurance. That's what will become of Britain. You will no longer live in castles. Your sons and daughters will be lawyers and doctors, or maybe they'll be blue collar workers, but they'll have medical insurance. They won't die in the street like urchins, you know, that do in this period. So it's always like a little man, because there's like this one tiny sliver of history where this shit was possible, and they were fortunate enough to live at it at the top of the crust in that time period.
Right, to be in the right position too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, well, I mean, I guess if I was in her position, I'd be sad too. It's like Adam and Eve being expelled from Eden, right?
Sure.
But you did get to live in paradise. I sure never have.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I can't wait to see what your thesis is. Shall we get to the trailers? Because we got a unique mix of trailers.
Yeah. This was shown at a local art house cinema.
Yeah, it's literally, this is my neighborhood cinema. It's four blocks south of my house. And I love this theater. There's some problems with it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But all the trailers are like arty farty, either documentaries or they're arty farty. So first up, Far From the Tree. This seems like a documentary that's made, it's going to design, just going to make me cry 5 gallon buckets tears.
This,
like,
is about the parents, and I thought it, for some reason, I got the impression it was mostly about the parents of children with both disabilities or just differences in their lives with their personalities.
Yeah.
One of them looks like he's like a killer or something, and just how those types of things affect the parents of those children.
Yeah, like the guy introduced it, he's a gay man, and he shared that when he told his family that was
writing
broadly
the world's gayest pink tank. I couldn't believe that tank.
Yeah,
it was awesome, but pink.
And he's explained how that was a disappointment to his mother and father. Like, they've made a brave face of it, but he can tell, like, that was like a letdown. That was not how they went. He wanted to tell that story. Like, he wanted to, and then he started, as he got it warmed up to the ideas, like, I don't want this to just be kind of like my story. I want it to be broadly like when things don't turn out. And like you said, there's I think there's a Downs kid. There's a autistic child. There's a child that's like locked in syndrome. There's someone in. It does seem like it's interesting. You know, like what do you do when at various stages of your parental dream that dream is that illusion shattered and and it's tough. It's stuff that it's things I don't think people talk about. You know.
Yeah.
Like having these problems in a family or treating a special needs child and you know the gamut of emotions that must bring. So like I'm scared of this film. It looks like it'll really really work on my empathy muscles. Shall we move on to The Bookshop?
Sure.
Which stars Emily Mortimer, Patricia Clarkson, who's just so hot right now.
She is, yeah.
Fresh off Sharp Objects, and Bill Nye.
And doing a different accent this time.
Not the science guy, the English Bill Nye.
The guy from Shaun of the Dead.
Looks like it's spelled Ninayani.
Mm-hmm. One of the Underworld movies, unfortunately. Yeah.
This movie just looks like it's entirely too much.
Yeah.
It's just... I can't believe so much drama is being manufactured out of poor Emily Mortimer buying a bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just insane.
And Bill Nye being too old to love her. I don't know.
Yeah. Romantically. Might be going in that direction.
It seemed like it.
Not sure. I have zero desire to see this film. It looks like it's just silly. Just silly. then we have The Wife. Starring Glenn Close, Jonathan Pryce, right. Christian Slater, McGee from Downton Abbey. And this is essentially that Big Eyes movie, only with author. There is a man who's taking credit for a brilliant woman's writing career and something along those lines. Glenn Close is the woman. Jonathan Pryce is the usurper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like, again, this is just Big Eyes only with books instead of artwork involving little girls with enormous eyes.
Okay.
Do you know what
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz was the...
I know who he is, yeah.
I think it's a Tim Burton joint, if I recall correctly. But yeah, it's about a woman who's a painter. She's known for these like particularly expressive big-eyed paintings. It's a real story, and her husband took credit for her paintings.
Oh, okay.
Her whole life.
Asshole.
So, yeah.
I'm just happy to see the High Sparrow getting some work.
Yeah, yeah.
I know he's had a lot of work. But...
And he's a Bond villain. Uh-huh. And what all was he in? Oh, he was General Perone in Evita, of course. You know that.
I never saw that.
You know, Oh, no, it's your favorite musical, Evita.
Oh, right, yeah. Right. Evita? Oh, yes, Evita.
Right.
I thought you said Awkwafina.
Not Vegeta, Evita.
Okay.
And those were the weird ass trailers we saw at our house film theater tonight.
Uh-huh. I'm sure you saw like the next Marvel movie and probably, I don't know, a couple of animated films.
Right.
One from Pixar.
You know, I told Jack that we were going to this theater tonight and he's like, that's such a weird theater. Why don't they ever play like the Avengers?
Yeah.
And I'm like, 'cause you can see the Avengers anywhere, son. The movies you see here, you can only see here. And he's just like, so? They'd make so much more money if they did the Avengers. I'm like, eh.
You know, they probably would because there were eight people
on a Thursday
in our
night.
Theater yeah. on Thursday night, which I assume is the opening night of a lot of movies.
Right.
But
I was kind of surprised it wasn't Little Fuller because this is only like the one of three places you can see this movie in the city, and there was a little bit of buzz behind it.
And one of only two showings tonight. So
yeah. And maybe with a spooky movie, the 9 o'clock showing is where it's at.
Not that spooky.
But anyway, before I let you people go, because this movie's still running at my art house, if you have not seen Won't You Be My Neighbor, the Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers Neighborhood documentary, and you want to feel good about life, seek it out and watch it. It's great.
Or
wish we watched that because I would love to do a podcast on everything about that movie.
Yeah. Or if you have been really jonesing to see Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure in the big screen.
Yeah.
Check it out September 14th.
Is it, sweet.
It's coming here.
Sweet. Excellent, actually.
Excellent.
We are going to now get into the spoiler section. Spoilers.
Yeah, it's spoiler time.
Do you want to talk about your grand unified theory of this film sucking?
It's not as like
your guts theory
meta as you're going. I think the idea that this kid was in love with this house, essentially, and somehow his spirit sort of broke off and haunted the place, and that he's coming back to try and take it over is an interesting thing. And it's kind of an inherently scary idea, because you have both the physical threat of the man himself, and also the supernatural threat of the kid and the spirit that's in the house. So I thought that was super interesting, but they didn't do enough with it.
Yeah, like,
and I had it figured out like 10, 15 minutes into this movie.
I did not get that at all. I thought that the house was always evil, and that the house forcing him like to break things off was like a manifestation of that. But
really,
because they mentioned it being like a poltergeist, and what I understand a poltergeist is, it's not necessarily like a traditional ghost. Like, it's not a disincorporated human intelligence. It's more of like an emotional energy. And when something tragic, like that little girl, because they mentioned the little girl died the next day. I think the Spanish flu
or something.
Because it was like, that was
she got sick that night.
1918 or 1919. So I thought what happened was but it still works as like his going in there and desiring the house.
Yeah. And he keeps talking about, you know, the first time I saw...
Right, that book ended the movie. Yeah. I think you're right. I feel dumb now.
Well, you went even deeper than I did with the British aristocracy crumbling. Like, that's also pretty good. Pretty good take that I had not
like
figured
class
out.
Resentment is essentially was the ghost.
Well, I think you're right, too, because when, you know, he's talking about he can't sell this land, and that's that works on both sides of that equation, right? And then... Right. When they build those houses and he goes up to the window and he looks out and he sees the landscape is ruined by these houses, these poor people, by his standards, moving in, they're destroying the life that house represents. I think you're right.
And he's like someone that's crawled his way to the middle class but still the middle class always is jealous of the upper class's titles and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But,
and they're like, he's just on a thrust of maybe marrying his way into one on his bat, and now like the fucking riffraff are being let in. That makes sense too.
And every time somebody suggested that he leave, or someone suggested that he take, Cameron. I don't fucking remember.
It was Catherine for sure.
Catherine. Every time they suggested take her and go or leave yourself, something bad happened to them, right? The first time he got that rod guy committed.
Right.
The second time the mother started getting like scratches on her and she attributed to Suki, or Susan as her real name.
Yeah.
But it was actually that dude.
Yeah.
The spirit of that boy. And then the final time, you know, we actually see it happen. And I don't know. There's something. Like,
see, because I thought you're supposed to understand that since it's a poltergeist and it's not a focused persona, that like I think that Catherine and her mother saw Suki as the apparition, but when the boy was in the house alone, it manifested as the boy. But no, I don't want to talk you out of it because I think you were actually right. Like, I think that like it is a poltergeist, but it's made out of that little boy's. You know, like the fact, you know, he immediately coveted the house and he wanted a piece of it. And then his mom just fucking slapped the taste out of his mouth. And then there's like, there's like intense emotional thing. And then the girl is like happy about it because, you know, whatever. I can totally see. So you don't think. Because, like, Cecily had a theory that you're going to find out the boy actually died there some time ago, and he's, like, literally a ghost. I'm like...
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, he's driving around, he's going to London, he's giving speeches. I didn't think that. She also had the theory that the dog was the actual star of the film. And as soon as he, sadly, was put to sleep, she quickly lost interest. But
I couldn't tell you why the girl was mauled by the dog, actually. I forget what they were discussing at the time, but...
I think it's just the fact. I think the girl was not showing proper respect to the house, and it makes it, under your theory, then his psychic energy lashed out at her,
right?
But so here's my big problem with the film. I thought the way they handled the little girl, like the fact that like this movie's been kind of droll and not really menacing, and it was like 15, 20 minutes into the runtime, her getting her face torn off was like, oh yeah, this is going to be fucking good, because they've right. already kind of been building this creepy stuff. Now I'm going to start getting the really long tenses. I'm going to start getting the high strings. I'm going to get
the ringing bells.
I'm going to start getting, but they never, it's all just matter of fact. Like there's no tension. There is a little tension when the old woman gets locked in the room, but a lot of times I decry horror tropes and their overuse, but I really kind of think they could have used a little bit of, again, like what if they had used half of the tricks that like the witch did as far as building dread in between these, because they had perfectly fine set pieces. Girl getting mauled by a dog, top notch. the woman getting locked in after the bells ringing and that being creepy and the thumping, getting locked in the room and terrified to death. I actually thought it was really cool how like the bell systems and the little weird old timey telephone system kind of worked in that. But then she slit her wrists and that should have been scary, but it wasn't because they didn't build any tension. There wasn't any like false. Like you know, where you build up tension and then it's like a not a jump scare, but like nothing's going to happen in the scene, so you can't really fully relax. They just didn't do any of the tricks of the trade,
and they let up too early on the scenes where they did try to go for tension.
Yeah,
like I thought the woman, you know, locked in the mother locked in the room had built up a lot of tension, but they didn't go anywhere with it.
Right,
they just smash cut to like the next day.
Right,
or something.
She had a small cut on her arm, and like I thought like. You know, when I thought it was pretty horrific when she was getting like pricked to death by, I guess, the ghost. But that was just like really play. Like the camera is just so passive and editing was so passive that, I mean, and also like the maid should have been fucking terrified. She's like really rolling into punches on this
she
thing.
She is, yeah.
To the point where I was kind of worried, like, did they cut her into the will and she's, like, trying to slowly kill the family? But...
Yeah. No, and I thought every time they went upstairs, it started... The tension started to creep in, you know, because that's where all the... That's where the nexus of the horror was happening.
The house looks great. The house is creepy
as fuck.
Yeah,
the house is super creepy. But they always just, like, let that tension die. They never hung with it long enough for me to feel really creeped out, and they never paid it off.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and I don't know why. Because...
And even the final reveal, I expected something scary to happen, and nothing scary happened. It
no,
was just a
it was
reveal.
Just, it was just a reveal that it's the ghost of the kid, but not really, because he's not literally a ghost.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is, like, I wonder, because I didn't get into the core relationship, like, of Catherine and Dr. Cochran.
Dr. Cochran, yeah.
The Zephram Cochran, yeah, he invented
Faraday.
Faraday. Because I couldn't tell whether this was some kind of thing that the house was manipulating, or, like if they're all losing their minds, and there was a lot of, like... his weird effect was...
Yeah.
Where he vacillated between seemingly loving her and then being jealous of her, but then being aware of the fact that she's not a great match.
Yeah, I think it's because he's jealous of her having the house.
Right.
It's what he's after.
Yeah. I'm not sure why they didn't try to make this film a little scarier, because I think it could have been.
I don't know why they didn't try and hide what they were doing a little bit better, too, because, like... I thought the intro where the kid is obsessing over the house and them saying that that's what's happening there, what they should have done is not had some stupid voiceover telling me what he's thinking. Just show him looking at the house. Just show him like...
I kind of think you're right. If you remove the two voiceovers, because they really fucking beat you over the head with that last voiceover.
Yeah. And the stuff about... And the flashbacks to him as a kid tearing that acorn off and getting super pissed off... And that was, like, the moment that his psyche fractured and, like, stayed in the house, I think.
Yeah,
They just did too much. They gave away too much and too early, and I was just on to them, and I was like, well, now I got to sit through 2 hours of movie that I already know the end of.
Yeah. What was he doing at the end? Because, like, he didn't buy the house, right? He's locking it up for...
No, I think he got the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So why was the boy upstairs crying?
Because he had to kill some people. I don't know. I don't know.
Because it felt like...
Or maybe he did, like, have to just abandon it.
Or maybe the fact is... he didn't have to abandon it, but he can't because you can see I think some years have elapsed since the death of Catherine because the house has gotten even worse. Like
that's
now
true,
there's
yeah.
just like leaves blowing through. And I wonder if this guy's got it, but he doesn't have the income to keep it up. So it's like the boys.
And look
crying.
What has happened to the house, right?
Yeah.
In
like
the,
it's
in
just,
the interim.
It's getting worse and worse and it's never going to be the same as it was. And
yeah, that's a good read.
Because that's the only thing I don't really, it's one of those things where it's like, unfortunately there are maybe a few interesting things to dig into, but the movie failed to make me care enough to, like, I'm not going to think about this film. The Witch, I saw The Witch. I thought about that film and off for like 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. The Witch is fucking scary. You want to see a movie that does that kind of tension, right?
Yeah.
The Witch.
And this could have been like another period piece kind of thing. And that's, you know, one reason I got excited for this is I thought I read somewhere that one of the producers or the screenwriter of The Witch was the same one for here. And I'm like, oh, I could see this. But that's why I kept on like making these comparisons to The Witch. But it's almost like it's more. Have you seen the Nicole Kidman film, The Others?
I think so. With the kids.
Yeah. With the kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it felt. It felt like that because that's not really scary either. It's just like a psychological threat. It's almost like the Sixth Sense is kind of creepy and scary in places, but
it is.
It's much more of a psychological thriller where you just find out like, oh, the tragedy is that these people are already dead and they don't know it, and it's like kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a supernatural The Matrix reveal, right? And it's a little bit like that, only not even as cool because it's not a ghost. Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, there's a couple interesting things that would be fun to pick at, but like the movie just didn't really sell it. Didn't really sell its premise, and it's unfortunate because it had a lot going for it. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm good.
All right. Thank you for coming along with this bald movie ride with us. The next bald movie or slate of bald movies for September, we've got two scary movies leading up to the month of October. The first is James Wan, The Nun, which is kind of a either prequel or sequel to probably a prequel to The Conjuring 2, the nun monster, the Vertex or whatever the fuck that demon's name is. And then we are seeing September 14th, Mandy, which is the Nicolas Cage apocalyptic horror film that just looks amazing.
It looks so fucked up.
Yeah,
I can't wait. And it's Nicolas Cage being A+ Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, this is just we're not seeing this movie for you guys. We're seeing this movie for us. And if anyone feels this on the Nick Cage love, hate, not being able to tear your eyes away from the train wreck, then you might enjoy it too. But it's going to be solely for Jim and I's amusement, and we're just going to release it for funsies. So that's what's coming up in September. Thank you for your support, and we will see you next time.